Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
That's the best for your show, because when I'm prepared, you always like kind of throw me a curveball. So I'm just like, I'm completely, I'm comfortable in my Scooby knowledge that I can pull this out of my ass while I'm getting my hair dyed. Oh my god, you got out my arm. Hold on.
Yeah, this is a special kind of
arm hair. Dark arm hair is not good. Okay, sorry.
Oh dear. So I'm back again with whoever was available. But seriously, I'm back with the house that screams legends that are Candy and Daniel.
How are you guys?
We were going to have the cinema drunkie, and I got nothing but Radio Silence. And Johnny, well, he can just do honorable mentions.
Yeah, he gets to have the leftovers. And we're going to pick all the good stuff, so he's going to have to really rack his brain.
Absolutely. And since we're not on a 40-minute timed Zoom chat, and we're actually on the preferred Skype, I'm going to let everyone just circle around. Just how did you get into the Hanna-Barbera cartoon that was Scooby-Doo?
Oh. Can I go first?
Yeah, exactly.
By all means.
Okay, thank you. I actually grew up, you know, I spoke, on my podcast, The House That Screams, about my grandfather getting me into horror. He also got me into cartoons, particularly Hanna-Barbera, but also like Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry as well. Well, I think Tom and Jerry is Hanna-Barbera, but with Scooby-Doo would come on before there was like a Cartoon Network. This is way back in the 80s when I was a child. I think it was TNT or TBS. Which one of those two that owns Cartoon Network, they had a whole block of like 4 hours of cartoons every afternoon during the week, because of course there were Saturday morning cartoons, but right. And so they would show like the Scooby-Doo movies, which are my favorites, like the 45-minute episodes where like there's like, you know, guest starring Sonny and Cher, or you know, Jonathan Winters, or you know, whatever random early 70s celebrity.
The Harlem Globetrotters.
The Harlem Globetrotters did 2 episodes before they got their own Hanna-Barbera show, by the way. So yeah, I got into it. I'm very into animation, but I got into it then, and Scooby's been like a lifelong love of mine. It's still something I put on when I just want to relax and just enjoy, and it's my good like chill background noise. That and SpongeBob, but
very cool. So this would have been early 80s and 90s TNT, back when they were doing older movies and before they grew a brain and say, hey, how about we dedicate another network dedicated to that, known as Turner Classic Movies.
I was really excited when Cartoon Network came out, which was during my senior year in high school, 1996 to 97. Don't do the math. But that's when it came out, and there were no commercials. I stumbled upon it. There were no commercials, and all they had the rights to was the old Hanna-Barbera stuff. So I'd be like, you know, 3 a.m., turn it there, you know, I'd be up and just watching it in my room, and there'd be Scooby-Doo, and I'm like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Where has this been my whole life? I was Cartoon Network changed my life. And Boomerang later on did that even further, because they kind of took over the old stuff as new programming and original stuff came out on Cartoon Network. So, yeah, there you go. Sorry.
Very cool. I miss it even when they did Cartoon Theater, and before they kind of sold out and just had every other movie be from the Fox vault as well. And it's like, no, it's not the same, guys. Please stick with the regular vault instead of playing The Land Before Time from Universal. It's not what we're looking for.
Yeah.
If I may go.
Please.
Well, you know, as a kid, I was aware of Scooby-Doo. I mean, it's iconic, you know, you can't not be aware of it. I was not really following it until, and I'll be the first one to say it, until the ABC cartoon A Pup Named Scooby-Doo in the 80s when I was a wee one.
Oh, God, that is one of those and cringy versions of Scooby-Doo, which there are several.
Dare you?
But bless your heart, you're younger than me, so it was a different time.
But with that one particularly, the way that they took so many of the pre-existing Scooby cliches and turned them on their ear still appeals to me. And from
and they did give history of the characters more in that, too.
Yeah, right. A little bit. And you know, with all the more recent Scooby-Doo stuff that has been launched, I'm still waiting for Red Herring to return.
But my
budding love of horror as a child also, when I discovered the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo with Vincent Price, it was just meant to be.
Yeah, I remember that series. It was short-lived.
Well, it's only 13 ghosts, so you can only do so many episodes.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I didn't think about that.
Can you
pretend I never said that?
No, they could have, to be fair, changed it to 130 days of Halloween or Scoob or something like that.
We're talking about Hanna-Barbera here, like they really fucking do whatever they want. So
they
I was
did.
Saying it. I was yeah. just saying.
Oh, and so I pretty much got the shared experience with you guys. I watched all the different spin-offs and everything, you know, the ones with or without the laugh tracks, and it's really just neat just seeing how it's just one of the rare cartoons where you actually feel like everyone's a legit family, even though they're not related by blood. And it is very much like all these Disney and Warner Brothers cartoons cliches where it's like everybody of any generation, you mention any reference, everyone instantly knows what you're referencing. You know, it's just that universally known. Right. That
yeah,
or
it's had a legacy yeah. since my mom was young. You know what I mean? It's been a staple.
Exactly.
Like my daughter, who's 20 now, she grew up and she's a huge fan of Scooby-Doo because I introduced her to the older episodes and there were some really great movies that came out around that time that really changed up the game for Scooby-Doo. And plus there was probably the best series of Scooby-Doo aside from the original, which was What's New Scooby-Doo? Was out at that time. So like my daughter was just a huge Scooby-Doo fan in a world full of everybody was into Dora and the Explorer and everything. You know? Yeah. My kids were cool.
There you go. Yeah, so early 2000s, that was quite a acid trip in some ways. It's like, man,
it was fun. I was so excited to all just be able stuff. To share that.
Well, and it's just even wilder how just some of this stuff is like today it's not that it was necessarily as edgy or so per se. It was just like they were taking a chance. They were letting so many independent companies try their own thing while still keeping the older cartoons alive in some fashion. And I do have to say, I think they did, out of all of this, they definitely understood this one's appeal in the HB vault the most. And they just tried their darnest.
Yeah, it was a formula they recopied.
It's been the most prolific.
Onto like... Yeah, they copied it onto Speed Buggy, a little bit to Josie and the Pussycats, the Chan Clan,
Team Angels.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of Hanna-Barbera stuff. It was like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And
yeah,
Scooby really started that trend because it was kind of like the first of its kind for Hanna-Barbera and really put them into a new light. So, you know, you got to respect that. But after a while, it got kind of like, oh, there's another one. What was it? Hong Kong Phooey. There were so many.
Not to go off on a tangent, but that really was why Hanna-Barbera once dominated Saturday mornings in the 70s and then died virtually overnight in the 80s because, well, their formula wasn't broke. It was just worn out.
Yeah, everybody was tired of it. And so that's when we started getting some of our weirder Scooby entries, like as far as series and stuff. Like when I was a kid, I was like, you know, they had the Scooby Cousins, and I just was like, this is dumb. I just want to watch the old 1969, you know, stuff for the Scooby movies, and exactly. I like the older stuff better. But but the late 90s, early 2000s would change that a bit, as we'll find out.
Very well said, because I mean, some of the older Yogi Bear stuff didn't play too well for me. Then there was the what's the other stuff, you know, Flintstones, Jetsons, they did that to death. So then it's like this
Laugh
one
Olympics.
Oh right. And just all
Laugh Olympics. Oh my goodness,
let's have everyone just get all together and let's, they were kind of doing half these things that were mentioned in here is like were either episodes, and they were a mix of new stuff to tie in all the stock footage that was basically the best dub bits, but then there were some other legit ones. And I had no idea that it was a Japanese company in the late 90s that pretty much was doing all their animation, and HB was just putting its, you know, logo on it.
Yeah. You
know, they were the contractor, and they, some other overseas company was doing this for it.
The Watt Cats.
Oh, goodness.
I had to bring up Swat Cats.
No.
Jesus.
So, the Pirates of Doubt.
I think because Scoob has that. Well, I'm surprised he didn't cross over with them at one point, but I think it had everlasting appeal because aside from just all the celebrity guests, it was kind of like a its own kind of Robin Hood, James Bond, where it's like, if you didn't like one adventure, you're still going to like a dozen other adventures. You know, it's so loose in its story and yet so its signature with its type of gags and trademarks. So you're going to have a lot to look forward to on each outing, you know?
And, oh, yeah.
Because
even though it was like a tried and true. Yeah, 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 they found different things to do. And even though you knew at the end of this, you know, the episode that the mystery was going to be solved, you had a lot of fun good in there. And sometimes it was with, you know, fun little music that they played along with, you know, or one of my episodes. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I won't go into that yet.
That's a good point, though. It's like one of the earlier shows where you see an example of montages. And it used to be like any other show or cartoon that did that, that was just kind of just showing the passage of time. And it would be just a cheap gag, like someone's, you know, taking forever to get something done. And here is like, there's like 20 minutes worth of each, every other episode. It's like just them running around set to a music tune. And I'm like, wow,
yeah,
that was the whole episode.
It's like so entertaining, though.
It is. You can't even say that you know who the bad guy is, because, I mean, there's really not enough clues to go on for half the bad guys half the time. So it's like, it's okay. Sometimes it's not
like,
about
every time Fred
something.
Would be like, you know, near the end of the episode, like, okay.
It's got to be red hair.
Finally narrowing down the mystery. I'm like, are we? I don't know shit. What?
Oh, Jesus. And I was too young to put two and two together and realize, oh, Scrappy's actually a crappy character who's kind of annoying. I
knew that from moment one. He ruined my life. Scrappy's going to come back up for me. I'll save my things about him for later, for when it's my turn. But yeah, I fucking hate him.
All righty, well... We will all circle around and just name drop like the movies and our picks. And well, once again, you know, as long as it's a special or a movie, it doesn't matter if it was direct to video or TV. You know, it's a movie or live action or animated. Just I'll start us off with number 10, Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
Oh, that was one of my picks. That's like
I'll let you talk about it.
That deserves better than spot number 10.
It's all good.
It really changed up everything for Scooby-Doo.
Well, this is in no particular order, so.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great one. That was actually one of my picks, so yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I'll let you talk about it. This was definitely one of the first movies I saw of that, and where I realized, oh, wow, they did a whole shit ton of these movies, you know, and Cartoon Network's Cartoon Theater would show this to death, no pun intended.
Yes,
they,
and I was okay with that. I was happy with it.
And... this is before I developed my love of zombies. I didn't really, like, love it, but this was one of those, I was a stupid asshole. I would just rewatch everything because, you know, I just like the characters
when
and everything.
You were
so
younger, you know, when you're younger, you have a tendency to do that kind of stuff. Because my daughter, if like, I felt like I loved that movie. Oh, God, my hair. Okay.
It's surprisingly pretty
I love that movie, but, like, I felt like at one point if I saw it again, one more time within a week, I was gonna do something to myself, horrible, gouge my eyeballs out or something, because like she just went into that and the witch's ghost like all the time.
Oh,
all
God.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
Now so, that damn song's gonna be in my head, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, which one? There's like two different ones that play, like one in the middle and one at the very start when they're rolling down the staircase. But they apparently did a sequel last year. I had no idea. And it was
they've been pumping them out, and I haven't seen any of the newer stuff, I have to say, in the last couple of years because my kids are all older now.
Oh yeah, a Boomerang shows a bunch of them religiously, and that's pretty much the only way. I don't have
Boomerang anymore.
Neither do I. This was like 2 years ago, but I take that back. I was watching a bunch of these, sneaking these in during college finals, but these were very entertaining in that. This was really the one that got the ball rolling. It's like in the 90s, it's like, okay, we've already done all the specials where they were kind of doing a mix of Space Ghost and Harvey Birdman, where it's like, let's take stuff, but let's not re-edit it to where it looks all campy and breaking the fourth wall, you know, doing Deadpool before it was a thing. No, we got to actually make original content, keep the brand name up, and actually have original stories that are fun. And so, yeah, this is the one.
By the way, the best episode of Harvey Birdman is the one with Scooby-Doo on it. Where we were accusing them of being like smoking weed all the time. That was the best.
I think I have seen that one.
It's so great. If you haven't, find it.
I actually showed that one to my dad because he he liked the Hanna-Barbera cartoons when he was younger. But I described this one to him, and that part where, and I forget which one, it's Daphne or Velma, whoever tells Harvey Birdman, no, Shaggy and Scooby won't last in jail. And then they cut to them surrounded by all the guys in the ghoulie costume, said, hey, remember me? Yeah. I thought my dad was going to lose it. He was laughing so hard.
It was so funny. And like, I love how it ended because they were like, you know, he was defending him and he was like, they're not high all the time. They're just stupid.
It's kind of why it works. And I was rewatching some of it recently on Hulu back before they took all those episodes down. And I even just started asking my father and uncles, like, do you remember that back in the early days on Adult Swim when it first started being a thing?
That was the best days of Adult Swim.
Totally. And home movies and all that. But it's wild how.
It's like my favorite.
And it's just one of those, is like, everybody just starts waiting a minute, and without even showing a picture, it's like, I think I do. Yeah, that, I don't know how to describe it. It's wild. It's crazy. Like, exactly. That's how you describe it. There is no describing it. It's there. And
but if
you
I
watch
could say
it.
Something really quick about,
please.
Zombie Island. Sorry, I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
Give me a second.
Back to, yeah.
I had a thought. So I do that sometimes. What I was really impressed with the Zombie Island episode is that the monsters were real for once.
When you go back to the
ghost ones or like the Boo Brothers, which are weak. The precursors. I mean, this was actually a well done story, and the zombies were real, and it was like. Actually like supernatural. Like I said, I don't count like the Boo Brothers or, you know, the precursors to that, because I thought they were kind of, they didn't sell me on it. Like
I watched those too many times than they deserved, and I was like, this isn't funny, but I'm watching it because it's Scooby-Doo. So
yeah, or the reluctant werewolf one, I hated that one too.
But yeah, this one, that's a good point. This is where they realize shit is going to actually hit the fan. It's not a guy dressed up as a werewolf. You know, it might as well be an actual werewolf, but they're zombies. And they do, various outrageous gags that I'm surprised even got a PG rating, where they're melting off the skin of the zombies or hitting them with their own bones. It's wild and crazy.
Yeah, and I really think it was a game changer for Scooby-Doo. I really think it took it to a new direction. I really think that's where the inspiration...
Brought to the modern age.
Yeah, the inspiration for the live action films. I mean, came from it, brought a new like boom and a new like facet to the Scooby-Doo universe.
The house was pretty well designed. It's just so wild how they started off, you know, in a totally different kind of mansion, and here they are in the classic, you know, kind of gothic-y, you know, house on a stranded island kind of scenario. And I think I would have liked this one way more grown up if there hadn't been so many fucking commercials. I mean, we had twice as many commercials, I could have sworn, growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I actually owned, like, the, I think I had a VHS of that and The Witch's Ghost.
It had a really cool clamshell and everything.
It was really fucking cool. I had it for a long time. I don't have any more, but...
Almost every other kids or family friend's house I went to, almost everybody had that fucking movie.
Because it was really great.
I know, but it's just so wild. It's like, there's no household that doesn't not
And have I was it. Like 20 years old or whatever. I think I was maybe like 19, actually. But when that came out, and I was like all about it. And my friends were like, oh my God, why? And I'm like, you are just missing out, okay?
Oh, that's just it. It's like... This is a weird chapter where it's like some of these cartoons keep staying relevant with each year on end, and other people, I don't know why. It's like when they get to a certain point, they just cut cartoons out of their life, or they want more mature cartoons.
Honestly, I've always been open to all cartoons. So, you know, there is never a moment, like if you ask me straight up, like my daughter bought the Blu-ray set with the whole castle and everything of the original series of Scooby-Doo. It's fucking badass.
How have they remastered it?
Oh yeah, it's amazing. And there's never a point where she can come up to me and go, you want to watch Scooby-Doo? That I'm gonna say, no, not right now. I'll be like, absolutely, yes.
Absolutely is the word for this. I mean, they were ballsy, they were willing to try different formulas. So I'll let you Daniel.
Well, the one that probably should have been number 10, and don't tell me you guys didn't realize this was coming for me.
Okay.
The Scooby-Doo WWE crossovers. Technically,
I knew it was coming. But that's okay.
Sorry. My bad. Sorry. Okay.
And it actually ties in well, because you were talking about how some of these cartoons don't age well, and they get, like, increasingly irrelevant, and With those two in particular, what's funny to me as a wrestling fan is virtually none of the wrestlers they used in it are active right now. They're all, like, retired.
Yeah.
I think I had a network connection. Just backtracking briefly, Daniel's pick for number 9 is the WWE special. And
yeah, there was two of them.
Two of them? Okay. I did not know that, despite looking at this fucking list.
I saw the first one. And I just... Yeah.
I lost track of them.
It's not good. I know it's not good. But that's what
makes it fun. It's not good, but that's okay.
I lost track of these starting around either the Samurai Sword, which is also a real big dud, despite the talent on hands, in my opinion. But then I just started.
Okay.
Yeah, it had George Sakai. Oh my! But yeah, I was fortunately able to get back into these. I think they do get better over time, but when they get back into it and they mix it either with CGI or just a different kind of 3D animation, then it's where it's like, if you're not observing and loving the animation and gags, then the stories leave a little bit to be desired. But yeah, so what makes this one appeal, even though it's kind of fun for some of the silly reasons? WWE without being silly. So, I mean,
well, again, as a wrestling fan, the fact that so few of these stars they featured in this, even as voice actors, are still active. Most of them are retired or moved on to different parts of the world. But it's just such a bizarre crossover that they actually somehow managed to make it somewhat work is just incredible to me.
Yeah. John Cena's in this one, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And now he does Hefty Bag commercials.
I know. Talking to the horse.
He's trying to do movies.
He was really good in
going. I'm not sure if that's
except
working
he
out.
Sucked.
He did pretty good in Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, but the other stuff, like when he started doing action, that's when he lost me. I was like, he doesn't have presence as an action star. And
there's something about his face.
Yeah,
he has a very Arnold type of thing.
He waited a decade too long to kind of do his kind of version of what The Rock was doing. And it's like, you know, you could have done that from the get-go, because, I mean, you weren't getting any good offers.
And I might add about the Scooby-Doo WWE crossovers, particularly the first one, the fact that they decided to use a giant demon bear.
I think I did see that. Isn't that on the back cover or some crazy shit? I'm like, yeah. What the hell is that thing?
And especially for me, it's like, you know, you've got like the Undertaker and other characters like that, that they're tailor-made to be Scooby-Doo villains, but you decided to use a giant demon bear?
Really? Really? Oh, God. Oh, man. So...
And just an aside note, since Hanna-Barbera has done so many crossovers with the WWE, they did the Flintstones, did the Jetsons, and Scooby-Doo. And among the wrestling community, there's been this ongoing debate, what'll they do next? And I keep saying it's going to be Wacky Races or not at all.
Wacky Races, yes, do it. You know, they have revamped the series,
which I don't like.
I'm like, if you're going to be like that silly... Because Wacky Races, you really just got to take your brain out and play with it. Like, why don't you just watch the old ones? Like, why redo it? I don't know.
I mean, if they really wanted to, if they had five times the amount of stones that they actually do, they could literally cross this over with Bugs Bunny or even Amblin and have the Animaniacs gang or some other Warner-owned property. But they're not going to go that far for whatever reason. So, I mean, I'm open to anything. At this point, they can't do it wrong.
Well, they're obviously open to anything. I'm just going to take this moment to point out that surprise, surprise, honestly, that you guys are going to be surprised. As much as I love Kiss, I have not seen the Kiss and the Kiss episode. I haven't seen it because don't have cable anymore. I know we don't have cable anymore. We've been doing just streaming for quite some time now.
Yep.
And I had no access to it and I wasn't going to pay to watch it. I'm sorry, because the quality has gone down. Like, they had a good revival started with Zombie Island and that led into like live action and all the other stuff, and now the series is really in the toilet. And it's just like they'll just take anybody on. It's like they're prostitutes. Like,
I think it's inevitable. I think I give them the credit.
I did describe Kiss, but I love Kiss still.
Yeah. I can't blame him for trying to do that. I mean, just wait till they do Van Halen or ZZ Top or some other.
But Hanna-Barbera already did their version of Scooby-Doo with no Scooby-Doo with Kiss when they did the TV movie Kiss Me, Spam of the Park, which you guys know I absolutely am obsessed with.
Correct.
Hanna-Barbera actually did that. And so it has the sound effects. It has everything. All that's missing is Scooby. There's a mystery going on. There's everything. It's Scooby-Doo without Scooby-Doo, yet Kiss is there. So I'm kind of thinking, how can you top that? But I wasn't going to pay to see it, so I haven't seen it. So yeah, that's surprising. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know you guys were expecting me to say that one, but I haven't seen it.
I actually was expecting it.
Daniel knows about me and Kiss. So.
All right. Just
an aside. And I'm sorry, Candy, if this offends you, but Die of Gonorrhea and Rot in Hell's Poorhouse River, Gene Simmons, you money-grubbing parasite.
No, I completely agree. I am not offended whatsoever. I fucking hate him. I fucking hate that guy. My two favorite members haven't been in the band for a very long time. So when Ace and Peter left, I was out.
All right.
Okay, moving right along.
Let's get back to number 8.
Sorry about that.
Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I've been talking of everybody, so I guess, you know, you can skip me.
Okay, Daniel, you just did this, so I got the Cyber Chase, the third animated feature.
I love that one.
I didn't watch it for the longest time. I don't know what it was. I think it was just I was judging a book by its cover, let's be honest. This was the fourth animated one that they did in the 90s, and I think I was just already kind of annoyed by Alien Invaders. And
I liked Alien Invaders.
It's good. It's just when you look at the poster and everything, the trailer just left a lot to be desired, and I was disappointed by Witch's Ghost. But Cyber Chase kind of like
Witch's Ghost. No,
sorry, I that one. I think it gets going like in the last 20 minutes, and I was just bored with that one.
No,
but, yes, sorry. No. I like ghost movies. I didn't like that one, but. Cyber Chase was interesting because, like, at first you think, okay, so they're trying to be all retro cyberpunkish, like every other Matrix type thing. It's like, no, think again. They're actually like basically trapped in a video game and they're raising the stakes. They got a killer virus thing. So once again, like the Zombie Island, like, okay, this is making it bigger than it needed to be. But you applaud them for even going that edgy, that stylish, that twisted. You actually
I mean, there's some really creative shit in there. Like, I like when they meet themselves in it, you know, because for like each level they had to like beat in the game.
Absolutely.
You know, they had to find the Scooby snacks, but then when they run into themselves and they're all kind of like, you know, like criticizing themselves, you know, it was that's actually a good kind point, of a neat like meta moment. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, pretty unexpected. Daniel, what was your take on this?
In all honesty, out of all of them, this one I was underwhelmed by. But like you said, by that point, it was already starting to wear out. And it felt like they were just really reaching with the concept. But it did have some cool moments.
Yeah, I didn't like the beginning at all. It's like they go into exposition mode. It's like, yeah, thank you, sirs. I do know how a computer works. It's way too much to ask for a kid's movie.
It's like watching the movie Hackers with, funnily enough, Matthew Lillard. It's so cringy. So cringy.
Yeah, a lot of people
like,
have been.
Wow, you guys are like so behind on the times. This is not how hacking works. Okay, thanks.
It's like they based it off actual stuff, but then they do all the fancy edits, and it's like, yeah, no one hacks that quickly, and that never happens.
Probably my biggest gripe with that one is the virus itself is so lame. Where was the imagination on that? It could have been so cool, but it was kind of lame. Looked like a lightning bolt.
Every other podcast and friend of the show has been reviewing that one lately. I don't know if it just started showing up on all the streaming platforms, but I just haven't had any desire. I've literally tried watching it 2 or 3 times, and I
watched it 200 times with my young child at the time.
Oh dear.
So you know how little kids are, and my daughter was just mega Scooby-Doo fan, so we watched it over and over and over again.
Jesus.
And it wasn't my favorite to begin with, so it was kind of like, okay, I'm done. I never want to see it again.
Please leave so I can destroy the tape.
Oh, no. We lost our copy. And that actually did happen, but then she found it hidden in another DVD case. And I was like, shit.
Jump on board, buddy. Jump on board. Jump on board.
So, moving along, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah. Has anyone here seen Stage Fright?
That one, no, I did not see.
Oh, okay. Well, Candy's favorite, Wayne Brady, is the bad guy in this one. And
I love Wayne Brady.
Everybody loves Wayne Brady, and he
I
doesn't.
Know, how can you not?
He doesn't choke a bitch, but he comes pretty close. And so this one was in 2013. If you don't want to see the plot line unfold, you should see it for the opening scroll alone. Because it goes from being, you know, just regular, you know, 3D animation and back to like a very well done 3D counterpart and just very clever credits, and it gets you in the mood. And it's just fun because it's just one of those other, it reminds you of classic episodes where there's been some foul play at a, you know, Hollywood type studio, and there's some other entertainers behind the scenes who have, you know, when does anyone ever have good intentions? You know, it just was really fun. The humor wasn't quite there, but if you give me 14 different shit-eating grins, then your movie is pretty awesome, in my opinion. So, yeah. So I'm going to go let Rob, Zombie,
hey,
Antichoro.
Hey, Rob, what's up?
Welcome aboard.
We're already to number 6, and I'm going to let you take that position. But I'll let you introduce. How did you get into Scooby-Doo, other than, like, was it just watching TV or the movies or
specials? Of course, TV, like, you know, as a kid, you know what I'm saying? They would just turn the TV on, like, to keep us still.
Pretty much it.
Like, you know, like, sit down and watch cartoons and, you know, fucking Scooby-Doo-Doo, where are you? So we'd just be sitting there. Yeah, so it's like, you know, I used to watch it, you know, the Scooby-Doo mysteries all the time, me and my sister and my cousins and stuff. And,
we'll return after these messages.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast Cure All, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation. We have Italian horror. We have zombies. We have slashers. We have crime films. We have spaghetti westerns. We even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of...
They must be destroyed on sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin cough, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pott's disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Hey, I heard you like movies.
I heard you like to hustle.
I heard you like podcasts.
Well, guess what?
There's a podcast for you out there called The Home Video Hustle.
Damn right.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I put a bunch of movies in a bag, and PJ picks one out at random. And then we just watch it. We talk about it for maybe like an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever we feel like doing, wherever the conversation leads us.
But do we actually talk about the movie?
Most of the time.
Ah.
Tangents galore.
Yes.
So believe me, we may be a movie podcast, but it's not always about movies. We might talk about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Music. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the big one, music. Sometimes we might get a little bit of politicalness in there.
Yes.
Sometimes we may just, oh, you know what we like to do? We like to tell stories, PJ.
Ah, yes.
I am the master storyteller
Yes. Of
the podcast realm. Undefeated. So if you like to hear about movies, video games, whatever foolishness comes to our mind, the most random stuff you could think of, check out the Home Video Hustle. You can find us on the Stitchers.
Yes.
The Google Play.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Podbean.
What else?
Podcast Addict.
Goddamn.
All that. Ain't no reason you can't get your hustle on. We everywhere. Worldwide, baby.
Hustle, motherfucker. Hustle.
Hey, we can't cuss in the promo, PJ.
Ah.
We gotta be family friendly. There may be podcasts out there that don't want his hair to say
Ah.
All that good fun stuff.
Well, you.
Yeah. don't run the listeners away, PJ.
Ah, I'm sorry.
But this is going kind of long.
Yes.
So we'll end this and say, hey, check out the Home Video Hustle every Friday on all the various podcast outlets. Peace.
Peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. And while Witch didn't make it to the top of the world, he did make the Gangs of Hollywood podcast. So join the gang and enjoy a movie review podcast about movie gangs, gangsters, mobsters, and the mayhem they cause. You can find GOH Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At GOH Pod, at www.gohpod.com, as well as your favorite podcast listening app. And remember, say hello to your little friend for me.
If you take two old punk rockers who are past their prime, put them in front of a movie screen and give them a podcast, what do you get? Cinema Punks. Cinepunks. It's the mixtape of movies.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you should be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be a
did
rough
you watch
movie.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah. Bana 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 bana.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy
at EILFM.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
My favorite was a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Saturday oh, God, you too?
Good taste.
Yeah.
Good taste.
I think it was just like you guys are that age of my younger brothers.
It's all right, Candy.
And that's when it came around was like for that them. And like by that point, I was too old where I was like kind of critiquing it, whereas I wouldn't have critiqued it if I was younger.
I was too old, but at the same time, Cartoon Network really fucked with our schedules around circa 03, 04, so then it got to being where it's like, that's the only Scooby-Doo that was on at a decent hour, so I'm like, God fucking damn it.
I had children in 03 and 04, so I was watching, you know, I was still pushing the original series on the Scooby movies.
So there you go. I think that was where they started having it on all the classic stuff on Boomerang and all the later day, less expensive stuff from the 80s on the regular CN network. So
I remember I was trying to explain a pup named Scooby-Doo to Di, and she was like, oh, you're talking about Scrappy-Doo. I'm like, no, I mean a pup named Scooby-Doo. She's like, I never even fucking heard of that.
Red herring.
Yeah, I remember watching it with my brothers and I'm just like, I literally want to set this on fire.
It was cool for the time, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's like when you're at a certain age, you're kind of open more. And I was at the point where I was kind of closing a little bit more, and I was like, well, nothing's better than the original, you know?
Right.
Which
right.
I changed essentially my mind about later.
That's how I was with new Looney Tunes. I would just see them release a movie every other summer, and I was just like, yeah, no. Oh, going back, classic Roadrunner.
Eric Blanca, anybody?
There's that. I mean, just watch the original Bugs Bunny Roadrunner movie. That alone will put a smile on your face. Watch even Sylvester and Tweety. Come on. That was like...
Oh, yeah. I used to watch that.
You guys didn't want to know what a Looney Tunes snob I am, because this isn't... I won't go there right now. We'll have to do a Looney Tunes thing. I'm a Looney Tunes absolute snob, like down to directors.
Oh, yeah. I'm still waiting on him to do that so-called Chuck Jones biography they've been talking about for centuries, it seems now.
Yeah, because you know, you have your different schools, your Chuck Jones. There were so many different, like, great directors and different, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just like certain, like, decades of Looney Tunes. I could tell you, you know, I can tell you all kinds of stuff. Like, I'm just kind of a snob like that with Tom and Jerry, too.
So is Joe Dante.
Tom and Jerry's a good counterpoint too. Yeah, sorry.
So is Joe Dante, and it was his love for Looney Tunes where he finally told Warner Brothers to go fuck themselves.
Right.
Over there, they're meddling with his Looney Tunes back in action, because he wanted to be like, you know, he wanted to do Looney Tunes right, because he hates Space Jam and the way they did the Looney Tunes in Space Jam.
Yeah.
So he wanted to do Looney Tunes right with Looney Tunes back in action. They kept fucking with him, and finally he was just like, you know what, Warner Brothers, go fuck yourselves. He's so sick of working with them now.
Yeah. And Dante is one of the few filmmakers who knows how to state his opinion without looking like the, you know, a hypocrite or like the worser party, you know? He knows how to be outspoken without being a douche, and I just love him for it. And you can respect his opinions because he doesn't act like, you know, he's the, you know, he's caught off guard giving a controversial interview. He's just like, yeah, no, I kind of prefer that era. You know, he talks like Tarantino without Tarantino.
Splitting up that really long documentary on Shudder, In Search of Darkness, about 80s horror, and Joe Dante's like commenting on every single film. I think we're at 1986 at this point. But yeah, Joe Dante has an opinion about everything, but he's such a nice guy. You know what I mean?
did you hear what he said about the remake of Psycho? But he was just like, it was the worst thing ever attempted, and it was like, oh, it's cool because people don't like watching black movies. He's like, fuck them if they don't like watching black and white movies.
You know what I'm saying? Which is exactly what I say.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Was he doing this on Trailers from Hell or Shudder?
I have no idea. I saw
Shudder Oh, I thought you were talking to me.
Yeah, no, we're talking about the recent Psycho Dis remake.
No, I don't know. I saw the clip on Twitter, so I don't know where it actually came from. But I saw it Sunday, and I was just like, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know,
that's exactly how you feel. That's fair.
Yeah.
All good. So do you have a pick for number six of one of the better Scooby-Doo films? We've done Zombie Island, the first WWE special, Cyber Chase, and Stage Fright so far.
Am I allowed to pick one of the movies?
The live-action movies?
Yeah. Any movie or special or episodes edited to be a two-hour block, that's fine.
I'll tell you how wrong you are. The live action one I dig a lot.
Which one? Because there were actually four. There was two on TV and two in the theaters.
No, I'm only thinking of the two with Matthew Lillard as Shaggy.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Those are
Yeah, those are the only ones I think of.
Because the TV ones can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, totally. I saw the trailer for that television one. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they did too. The Lake Monster one was really dumb. I watched it with my daughter. And
yeah, a title like that, I wouldn't have guessed.
Everyone was even complaining about Daphne and Velma, and I'm like, that looks like that was done for $10.
It did, and they didn't even bother to dye, like, because they dyed Freddie Prinze Jr.'s hair to play Fred, because he is dark-haired. But they had playing Fred in the TV ones that were strictly aired on Cartoon Network, they didn't even bother to bleach his hair. And I mean, that's just like aesthetics, I know, but the story wasn't good. I mean, it's like, if you're gonna do something live action, you better be on par with those fucking movies, or you're just gonna piss everybody off, and nobody likes them, so they failed.
I haven't been a single person like those.
But good luck to anyone who does. But the O2 one, I pretty much just watched once when it was like first a rental. Didn't love or hate it. I was just like, okay, so they tried a live action version, but part two, the Monsters Unleashed, I think, did a good job of bouncing out more of the fun, having some outrageous music, and not having Scrappy this time, so that was a good idea.
Well, I actually liked that in the first live action film that Scrappy was the fucking villain. Who doesn't hate Scrappy Doo? Only fucking like masochists like Scrappy Doo, because he ruins everything, and they make that a point in the first movie. And then you find out at the end, as Rowan Atkinson, you know, Mr. Bean, playing the character, that you find out that he's actually Scrappy, like trying to get revenge on him. And I'm like, fuck you, Scrappy.
Yeah, that's where it kind of lost me. I mean, it's watchable. It's just one of those, I don't know if I could watch it now because there's just so much restroom humor. And even at that point, I was kind of cringing because it wasn't really...
That took me by surprise when I saw it back in the 2000s.
I was like, holy shit, they're pissing on everybody. It's like,
Scrappy was peeing on Daphne, and she's like,
movie had to have that. I'm like, good fucking God, why?
But, you know, if you got to think about it from a Freudian state, you know, there's the different stages in a child's life and going into adulthood, and there's what's called the anal stage, and you know, we're in that stage for a while, but it is bathroom humor, it is fart jokes, it's pee jokes, it's, you know,
I was in that mindset and I wasn't entertained by it. That's how weird it was. It's like, okay.
I don't know. I really, I enjoy it. I still do. So maybe I just never got out of that stage. Freud, want to chime in?
Whatever works. I mean,
well, I got a suggestion a bit out of the left field here.
Okay.
I'll let that be number four.
And technically, this is not a movie, but I think in length it would be about fifth. From the late 90s, the Scooby-Doo project from Cartoon Network.
Oh,
with the little snippets that they would show for like the Blair Witch Project?
Spoofing the Blair Witch.
Oh, that was the best. Oh my God, I was so excited when those would come on. I love those. Those are great.
I miss those, but they apparently, it was like as close as they got to Space Ghost, where they would re-edit stuff and, you know, using old footage and redub it with Frank Wolf.
I imagine you could probably track them down on YouTube or something.
I think so, yeah. Daniel's right.
Yeah, they're really great.
They apparently had a Courage the Cowardly Dog spinoff, and that must have been a one-time error, because I never saw that. That was back in 2000, so I don't know where the hell I was. I would have thought I would have remembered seeing that.
Big Courage fan. I love Courage.
They need to reboot that one.
That was a fucked up show. If you go back and watch it, I mean, I was
favorite show.
I was 20, almost 21 when I had my daughter. And I would sit and just watch Cartoon Network trying to nurse this baby. And I would just watch whatever was on. And so it was like, I saw some interesting shit, but
it was a good one.
It was entertaining.
Stupid dog. And that, and
the best part of that was Courage was so fucking weird.
I liked him. He didn't
back
fit
then
in.
It was weird, but it's like it was like Ren and Stimpy weird. Like, is this appropriate for children? Like the pedophilia guy,
there
was some weird shit.
Ren, I don't know. I never really gave him much of a chance, and that was before I found out they were rated R. But like, Courage was pretty hardcore and just wacky, and you just wanted to
like scary sometimes.
It was freaky, but I don't know why. I never got freaked out by it. I couldn't take my eyes off it. And this is before I'm even into horror. I'm just like, I'm just watching it. I'm like, this is outrageous. This is just funny. A giant beanstalk is growing. A bunch of other, I mean, I think someone's face just got ripped off and it's just outrageous.
Yeah, it was not.
They did it in a way where it wasn't gory yet. It's just very outlandish.
It was unsettling. Like the giant head when I was like, I'm grown, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Not safe for work. It's. I think it would even have a TV by 7 rating. I'm like, it's still pretty hardcore for TV by 7.
Cartoon Network was always taking risks. They've gotten rid of their, like, because Adventure Time went into some, you know, controversial zones. Steven Universe did or does. I think it's ending. And my favorite show that was not an Adult Swim show of recent was a regular show. And I'm like, I don't know how they pulled that one off, because that's not for children. But I enjoyed it immensely.
I think that's just it. They're hoping that parents spend time in front of it. But some of it is almost just like some of them just cluelessly leave their kid in front of it and they're not parenting or anything. So then they're wondering, why are you jumping off the roof like in that cartoon?
My kids watched cartoons and stuff, but it was like I wasn't watching cartoons with them. They were watching cartoons with me. Do you understand? Like, I would be like, hey, we're putting on cartoons. And I'd be like, okay, cool.
Well, on a related note to what you were talking about, and to get us back to the main topic.
We'll never get back. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, one of the things about that Scooby-Doo Project Blair Witch spoof is that it was at a time where Cartoon Network was just starting to experiment with a bit more risque stuff, and you could see starting to lay the groundwork for Adult Swim.
Yes.
And if you look up the clips on YouTube, they snuck a lot of, like, you know, very mature humor in there.
Yeah.
And we're not talking the fingerprints referenced in Animaniacs, but they're coming pretty close. And this is one of those is like, okay, yeah, I think they're saying something because it's ha-ha jerk-ass humor. And
yeah.
my parents are rolling their eyes. Clearly, it's something.
I think my favorite part about that particular, you know, those little clips of the Scooby-Doo project was that, you know, Daphne's holding the camera. I believe it's Daphne. And she's running from something, you know, like, you know, and it's shaky cam or whatever. And it's Scrappy's in the background going, it's just me. It's Scrappy. She's like, I know. I know.
And it's remarkable looking some of this up. This is around the time when the 90s, you know, and this, for some reason, it doesn't play so well in the 2000s. But in the 90s, it was just groundbreaking. It still some sort of holds the test of time, and that anything that was more recent, they would comment on it. They every other movie or show had to have a reference to breaking news and pop culture. And so it was just always kind of cool seeing parodies and everything. Sometimes the parody would be better known than the actual movie. And with specials, that it just was so common to see just some kind of tie-in material. And if you missed it, you missed it. And you smack yourself over the head for missing it and not recording it with your VHS player.
And in this little specials case in particular, because it's never been released on like DVD or VHS.
No, nothing. Yeah. I think you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, the clips are on YouTube.
It apparently won an Annie for Best Animation.
Nice. It was really
there
great.
You go.
I was very impressed with it. I remember them showing it very heavily at Halloween.
They made fun of so many. They and Nickelodeon would just make so, like, fun of just every other PG-13 or R-rated blockbuster. And it was just so wild just seeing that growing up. I'm like, you do realize they're making fun of a movie that no kid has seen. So it's like, that was their way of kind of getting an adult audience while at the same time just having fun. It's like, okay, well, you can't watch that movie just yet because you're,
well,
like, age six.
Like,
but you can watch parody.
if I could reference, I know it sounds off topic, but it's not in this case. Reference regular show one more time that was on Cartoon Network. what they said about it was that it was enough that kids would laugh at certain jokes, but that the parents also enjoyed it because it made a lot of 80s references. So I think it's that, you know, it's something like, well, you're not tortured to sit down and watch this with your kid. You're actually enjoying it, and the kid's enjoying it, and there's something for everybody in it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and back in the 90s, somewhere along the way in the 2000s, is like everybody wanted to be like Scary Movie, and it's like, no, please be like old school parodies where you don't have to see the material to get the joke. You can just have a fun time because it's got its own crazy loose story and outrageous humor. So if you didn't see what it's making fun of, you're still guffawing because it's like, yeah, this is just outrageous. I've never seen anything like it before. It was Weird Al kind of humor, and it's like, perfect. Don't have to be familiar with it. It's its own deal. So no, that's very well said. And some cartoons are kind of attempting that every once in a while, but there's other ones where it's like, unless you've been, you know, on the internet lately, you don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, has anyone seen the recent Shaft?
No.
Okay. No. That was pretty cool because that was by the guys who did Blackish and Girls Trip and a bunch of other outrageous comedies. But they're the kind of people, they're very layered. They got, if you don't get 10 other references, you're going to get at least 5 other gags because they're just very, they got a diverse sense of humor. And at one point, for instance, they make fun of the long time assumption that every other person has gotten Samuel L. Jackson mixed up with Lawrence Fishburne. And they sneak that in there. I'm like, that's funny. That's not even fucking related to the main movie, but someone's going to get that.
Right.
Someone's going to get it mixed up with Cowboy Curtis because racist America. But yeah, so that's the kind of humor they were doing here in all these specials. It's just my main point. It's like, okay, so good on you for doing that. Just if you don't get these other references, you'll at least laugh at these other kinds of jokes because that's in your knowledgeable field. That's in your zone and expertise. So yeah, no, very well said. I'm sure you could find the Scooby-Doo project on YouTube somewhere, maybe on a rare DVD site. Well, I'll do a search after this episode's done. So that's going to take me to the next one, which is number 3, Legend of the Phantasaur. I actually dug this one. They're terrorized by a ghost of a dinosaur. So that
okay,
alone.
What year was this one?
This one came out around 2013 or so, and you know, so that's where I was losing track.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Okay. So 2011, my bad. This played a lot on Boomerang, and I dug it because, I kid you not, it looks like they're using a lot of the same kind of backdrops as Alien Invaders, and it's just that same old, just in the desert kind of mystery that I always dug. And they have a bunch of Western tropes thrown in there. They're dressed up as cowboys, and it's just apeshit goofy fun. You should totally see it. And just the fact that it's a ghost dinosaur terrorizing Scooby and Shag, that alone is just worth the price of admission. So if you ever get Boomerang back or see a $2 discount deal of it at Big Lots, don't hesitate. You won't regret it. It moves along really fast, and before you know, it's like, you know, I wouldn't mind them bringing back more dinosaurs going back in time, you know, like the Flintstones or some shit. But this was pretty cool. Just the whole idea that it felt like they actually made use of it instead of, hey, here's the monster briefly hinted at the start, and then we got 20 minutes of dead space, and then the last 20 minutes are going to be all gags and actually making use of the premise. But this one, it uses it overall as a whole, and that's not something I can say about the one where they went to the moon and just some of the other stuff they made in between there that just totally lost me. So totally recommended.
Awesome.
All right. Anyone got any other ones?
Go with Mac.
I'll do one. I haven't actually picked one. I just keep talking over everybody else. So, I'm going to touch on what Rob was saying. With the live action films, I'm going to go with this, with Monsters Unleashed as well. I felt like he kind of picked both, and I just wanted to focus on one.
Okay. Well,
it's okay if I talk about the second one?
No. Go ahead. I picked the first one.
I'll try and edit it back towards near number 6 and 5. Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
You get to make the rules. It can still be whatever.
Go ahead.
Mine's just numberless. But because I'm going to have to go here soon. But with Monsters Unleashed, I really enjoyed it. I was really excited about it. And my daughter was old enough that I could take her to see this film. Whereas we just watched, you know, I just bought straight out the original live action film, the first Scooby-Doo. So we actually saw this one together, and it was a great bonding experience. But I really enjoyed it. I love the cast. Matthew Lillard's great as Shaggy. And as you guys may or should know, he has done Shaggy's voice since Casey Kasem got sick. And up until the recent Scoob movie, that flopped, I should say. They cast it without Matthew Lillard, and he was really upset about it. He's like, I have been doing Shaggy's voice since we started doing the live action film. So it really hurt him. But anyway, so you got Matthew Lillard as Shaggy, Sarah Michelle Gellar as Daphne, who is my favorite, Freddie Prinze Jr. as Freddie, and why has her name gone? Linda Cardellini as Velma. But also we have the added treasure of Seth Green as Velma's love interest, and I love Seth Green. So
that's
really
neat.
It just really had everything awesome in it. And I like that, you know, we had a plot from all the people, you know, all the villains they've defeated in the past, like harkening back to the original cartoon, like the original.
Really?
Yeah, like, you know, the Black Knight Gus, which is the very first episode of the Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Oh, like, very neat. Back in 69. This is the 2021 that went straight to video on demand following COVID.
Yeah.
Nice. No, that's the new Scoob. I'm talking about Monsters Unleashed, Scooby-Doo 2.
Oh, okay, shit.
That one, the direct-to-video one, is crap. Don't waste your money. The recent one. I was referring to that because they recast somebody else as Shaggy. They didn't give Matthew Lillard the job.
Okay, sorry.
He's been voicing Shaggy since they did the live-action films because Casey Kasem had done him since the 60s. Okay. Yep. So, but anyway, so we've got Seth Green in there. We've got all the callbacks to the original series. It's really like my favorite of all of the Scooby movies. And even though it's live action, it's really great. It still feels cartoonish. It's probably my favorite.
I hope it does. Yeah, it's kind of the point of it.
But not everything can do that successfully.
Correct. No, good point.
So that's all I had to offer on that.
All good. I'm going to go with number two. Did anyone ever see Arabian Nights?
Yeah.
That one I missed.
I actually had some nostalgia for that one. I just recall it being harmless compared to all the other 90s ones, which just, and 80s ones, which just were not cutting the mustard for me. I was just like, yeah, no, past its prime. And I was like, this one kind of used, it just had an interesting Egyptian, you know, I mean, it's Arabian, of course it's gonna, but I just thought that was a nice touch, and they made use of the gimmick as opposed to just draw it out, you know, in between gags and making you realize there's no laugh track to make you be tuned in. So I think they made good use of it. I don't recall. I think Scrappy appears in the middle of it, and he's not annoying for once, which is a rarity. It's like,
I don't know.
It's like he appears, but he doesn't overshadow the whole thing. It's pretty much, for the most part, you're just going to remember everybody just running for all the gold and treasure and messing with a lamp. So it's just outrageous shit. So,
the gin.
Oh, I would so pay for that. Can't wait for us to cover this fall.
And it's coming up.
Apparently, they got two other ones coming up soon. They got a cringe-worthy sounding one where he's going to King Arthur's court, and they got one where Scoob's part of Mission Yogi's gang, whatever the hell that means. So, Yogi Bear.
I'm not a Yogi fan.
All good. Hey, boo-boo. So I guess, and that's another one. You mentioned it instantly. Everyone instantly just starts making Mr. Ranger jokes. So I'll leave us with number one. Please note, this is not in order. So, because it's just too subjective. We never do anything in order. We just number it so we don't lose track. I'm going to go with Frank and Creepy. I thought that was a good...
That one I did. Video.
Oh, what's your take? Let me let you talk. I've been talking too long.
You know, as far as the more recent ones, this was not bad. I mean,
just on the cover alone.
Nothing measures to the old school Scooby-Doo. But this one, I thought lived up pretty well. You know, as a lover of the old Universal classics, I loved all the little, like, just nods and winks they threw in there. You know, Baron von Dinkenstein and...
Cosgood Creeps is a good point. Yeah, they have a lot of Easter eggs to earlier cartoons, and hardcore fans will recognize it instantly. I mean, the main villain of this is Mary Shelley herself, so that alone is pretty awesome. You know, one of the ancestors. So it's making fun of all the mad scientist movies, and I mean, just the moment alone, how the scowl, it looks, I think it's Velma, but she just looks similar to Velma, just similar skin and all, but it's just a fun, quick romp.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there actually a moment in that where someone actually points out to Scooby and the gang, like, you know, your solution to this mystery makes no sense, and suddenly someone grabs him and pulls him off screen? I can swear I remember that.
I think so. There was a lot of just fourth wall kind of breaking, in addition to all that Easter eggs, and you just get them because they're done in such a blunt but not too forced way, so that alone is just kind of worth watching. I don't really remember anything else in between all the other gags and the experiments, but I just recall it just being a very pleasant, and that's what you want in Scooby-Doo anyway. It's pleasure food. So that's all I got, guys. If anyone...
Can I, like, say, like, one quick thing?
Please.
I'm sorry.
We'll mention or anything.
Because... my interests are literally, like, my topics of knowledge are horror, cartoons, and classic movies. So I do have something to say about Scooby-Doo as a whole, really quick. I think, you know, Hanna-Barbera finally struck gold. This was their, what really put them on the map, Scooby-Doo was, and like I said, they did the formula to death. But Hanna-Barbera was doing everything on the cheap, where you have these, you know...
Yep.
Whereas, like, Looney Tunes is done by fucking Warner Brothers and got, you know, a fucking, you know, live orchestra doing the music and whatever. So, you know, it put Hanna-Barbera on the map. And I've been through all of its incarnations. Really, the best is, of course, the original. I like Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And the Scooby-Doo movies. And, you know, that's old school, like when my mom was young stuff, but it still holds up for me.
Absolutely.
But they did with What's New Scooby-Doo, my daughter and I really enjoyed that. Like I said, she's a Scoob fanatic like me. Because they use, I think, a Simple Plan did, they're like a pop punk band. They did the opening credits song, and they had like the Ramones, like every episode for the musical interludes, they'd throw pop punk bands in there, which was
neat.
It was neat. And then, also, I don't know, I was happy with that. And then when they did it was it's fairly recent, the Mystery Incorporated show. They actually put what everybody's been wanting in there, because we've all known about Fred and Daphne since 1969. But they finally made a romance between Shaggy and Velma. Everybody was waiting for that. I know.
Even though
I
she's a lesbian.
Well, and they do kind of, in the Mystery Incorporated one, Jesus, they do have sort of a female, not quite love interest. But she's involved with Shaggy in that. But then they did.
Scoob seemed to be hitting on all the women. It's like, this is not how this works, buddy.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I think since Mystery Incorporated ended, I really feel like they've gone off the rails. The new movie was shit. The casting on that was shit. I was really unhappy because, you know, I feel about Matthew Lillard. And
the
shits, I think
no giggles.
The newest series, when they changed the animation style, it looks like garbage. So I think Hanna-Barbera really needs to fucking regroup and figure out what they need to do, because I really feel like we're not in a good place with Scooby-Doo right now. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, if they can keep coming out with these DTV movies, I'll be down. But if they keep doing the CGI stuff, I think just based on COVID and how the numbers did with the ratings alone, they're not going to bother with it. But I hope they can at least learn a lesson, maybe even try just something else, you know, just like, hey, what's another property that, you know, from the HBO?
Even at this point, just go back. I mean, it's been Jesus Christ since 1969. If you went back to the original formula at this point, it would be new again.
It would be new, but due to everyone wanting to save a buck, I doubt they will. They're just not gonna do all the old school.
There is occasional ongoing buzz of a possible Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe, so
it's probably not going to happen.
That'd be so great.
I mean, look at how Universal attempted to do a classic horror monster thing, and how that fell apart. Because I mean, how could it not?
Let's put Tom Cruise in this. How could it not?
It's
famous universe.
They could have just brought back Brendan Fraser and had different kinds of mummies. Everyone would have been happy. But no, let's rewrite it. Let's have it not make sense.
I didn't even like the Brendan Fraser shit, so.
All right, well, aww, for those of us who like,
I'm not a fan.
It's all good. But
and tying that kind of together, if I may.
Fraser.
You know, when it comes to Scooby-Doo, I think what Guillermo del Toro, try saying that three times fast.
Yeah.
What he said about the failure of the attempt to reboot the Universal Classics rings true for Scooby-Doo. If you're going to do it, you got to do it from a position of love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And reverence to what worked in the past. And you know, adding to that only good things. Not crap, not cheap shit. And then I'm not talking about like cheap animation. I'm talking about cheap formula, cheap non-inspired
like the
ideas.
Scooby-Doo meets the Mummy movie that sucked.
Oh, that was, but it sucked because National Geographic did it.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, that was Nat Geo that Where's My Mummy? Yeah.
National Geographic
sponsored that. That's why
that
it sucked.
Makes so much more sense now, because it's like they paused.
That was
to
pretty
be
obvious. It's like all over the cover.
Well, I saw it on Boomerang, and so I didn't. I came in late. I didn't see any of the opening credits. I'm just like, what the fuck? Why are they pausing to? We don't come for a documentary or educational. You know, Scooby-Doo is not PBS. So
well, they never did it again, if that helps.
I hope everyone stops working with the child abuse sponsoring National Geographic. Long story. Look it up. They did a documentary on Boy Scouts. They censored it. It's like, don't censor it. It's the truth. That's all I said about it. And this was years before we were having issues like that still. So anyway, moving on. So where can we all find you on the interwebs?
Well, as always, the Nightmare Nerd, as I've mentioned on House That Screams, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Slasher app. And always I am on Candy's podcast. So as always, eat, drink, and be scary.
Yay.
Woo!
I'll go, because I know Rob has to like work up to it because he doesn't like doing it. You can find me on House of Screams that I host, and I I talk over everyone there as well. So that's what I do.
Hope you stay
excited. I just get really excited. Okay, I can't help myself. Also, I can be contacted on Twitter at @house_screams, and I'm on the Slasher Network and Instagram as Candy the Final Girl. There's also the House That Screamed pages. There's actual page on Facebook for our podcast and a group if you are interested in being involved with the show. So that's what
I got.
Please
bring free food. Want to be invited?
We are but poor, hungry, young. Well, maybe not me, but
we all need a Scooby snack.
Do you remember that song that whacked out on Scooby Snack song? Oh my god!
I think so. I forgot who sang
Am
it.
Am I showing my age? Okay.
No, this is the whole point of this was nostalgia and how it shaped us. So
it
I mean,
something like all whacked out on Scooby Snack. It was like a kind of stoner song back when I was in high school. It's really awful. Okay, sorry.
Well, that's part of the fun of these cartoons. It's like. It's like, who the fuck came up with it? Someone thought it was gold because they clearly aired it.
And I
want
to tell you, speaking of stoners, I used to get lit and watch Scooby-Doo all the time, and it was like 10 times funnier. Watch the Minor 49er episode when you're high, and you're like, wait a minute, why are they scared when he's just like standing there? And it's like you really like go on a deep level where you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. Don't smoke pot, kids. Never mind. Forget that.
Hey, that would be great. Keanu Reeves joins the bunch. Whoa.
Oh.
They're coming out with Bill and Ted. That looks good.
Yeah.
Be excellent to each other.
Most
are you on, dudes?
Excellent.
Are you on, dudes?
Well, all right,
so I'll go. of course, you can find me as the Cinema Drunkie on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. You can find my numerous writings on ultimateactionmovies.com, actionflix.com, my blog, thecinematrunky.wordpress.com. I just had an article come out today, a plea for more people to watch the lost action classic, Broken Path. It's on YouTube.
That.
Yes, please watch. If you love martial arts movies and just all martial arts things, things martial arts, Broken Path, you can do no better. It's such an ultimate
movie. Or don't and be sorry that you suck. So
yes, yeah, totally.
No, like, around though.
No,
see what I can do.
The plea is the movie did not get U.S. distribution and it's considered lost. I mean, it's on YouTube. You can watch it in its entirety on YouTube.
Well,
but
because
we're hoping
endlessly on IMDb. And it's like, I could only find it as like a Region 2 DVD at one point.
Yeah, you can only find it as a Region 2 DVD everywhere else but the US. So hopefully I'm trying to make enough noise to where, like, I don't know. It's maybe a hopeless case, but I think Broken Path deserves a decent release. Even if it's by fucking
Mill
Creek.
I'll do what I can on its behalf.
Yeah, even if it's Mill Creek, I don't give a shit. Just somebody put it out.
Mill Creek is awesome, especially with now how they're buying the rights to everything and ordering a Blu-ray treatment of the show.
They might as well just get Broken Path and release it. It deserves a release.
Don't hate them on Mill Creek now. They're part of the Anchor Bay Stars family. Now, go ahead and hate on Maverick. No one cares about Maverick.
Yes, nobody cares about Maverick.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show.